This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, like, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Ah, yes. We all have multiple insurance needs. They take care of all of them. Making sure you're fully insured and getting you the best price to save you money. It is all at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. A man who's in incredible demand, yet carves out minutes for us. Nate Bowers, sir. Welcome.
How are we doing?
I'm doing How's well. How are you?
You know, Christmas is over, so I feel like I hit the finish line. Like I got across the tape. Two kids, wife, family in town, whole deal.
It was wonderful, by the way, to meet your dad the other night. I really enjoyed that.
He was thrilled to meet you and wanted to make sure that I told you that he was thrilled to meet you. So you're the celebrity here, sir.
Oh, jeez. Oh, brother. Okay. Well,
I know.
You know me. It's really all about really my ego. You know, we all know. Okay. All right. Okay, so in this scenario, they beat SMU, right back to work. Next step is the Fiesta Bowl. James has tried to keep things as normal as possible. In other words, Wednesday may have been Christmas night, but it was Sunday, off day yesterday, then you know back to work. You know, and that's how he's done it, the same way. How important, in your opinion, is that kind of routine to a team?
I think it's very important. You know, some of the guys alluded. They just had a couple of Fiesta Bowl press conferences via Zoom a few moments ago, and I think they acknowledged a little bit some. I don't know what the word is: frustration, disappointment at having to practice on Christmas Day. You know, nobody really likes that. That's not the best vibe in the world, but. You get over it, right? Like you once you get back into the habit and into the routine, I think that everybody was kind of locked in by Wednesday night, you know. And yeah, it's an established trend that they have here. I think and maybe we even fall into this a little bit is once you fall, like it's almost like we don't know the day of the week right now. Right.
I agree.
Because for them, right? For them, it's what, Tuesday, right? So this is a Tuesday practice right now. Is kind of getting back at it, and then you're going into, in their minds, a Saturday game when really in reality it's obviously on Tuesday.
Right. And yes, I was at the practice on Christmas night, so I was there. I saw it. Now, let's get to what they did against SMU. When you look at, you know, the tempo with which SMU played at, the talent level which SMU brought to the table, what did you think of Penn State's overall performance, especially in the conditions?
Yeah, I thought it was... I'm fixated on game flow right now, and I think it's not necessarily given enough credit for how much of an influence those types of things have on getting you in or out of your identity as a football team. And so when the other team throws you the ball, right, and you can score 14 points off of it in quick succession, it just totally upended the nature of that game. I'm not sure that I would argue that Penn State played a great game. Mm-hmm. Right? Like from in terms of their identity, certainly in the first half offensively, things were disjointed, which is, you know, I think to be expected to a certain degree, just based on how cold it was and the wind throwing off the passing game. But it's one of the strengths that this team has, in my opinion, is truly a versatility in the ways that they can beat you. Mm-hmm. That there are any number of game scenarios, game tenor type identities, right? Game flow identities that can take place over the course of a season, and Penn State has an answer for all of them. And so I just think that the way that things transpired really didn't allow SMU to do what it does best, which is keep you on your toes offensively. The quarterback made those mistakes. They were absolute daggers. I think it's underrated how important Rojas, not only intercepting that pass, but taking it back for a touchdown.
Right.
Because I'm not sure I would have argued, or I'm not sure I would have said at that point in the game, a heightened confidence that Penn State's offense could have produced points off of that field position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Had he just gone down.
Yeah. Well, now they get ready for this. It's a completely different challenge. I mean, Smith is a really good running back, the converted wide receiver who gained over 1,200 yards this year. They got control of him. How much of Ashton Jeanty have you watched this season? And if so, what impresses you about him?
Yeah, enough. Right? I mean, certainly we don't get to see a ton of Mountain West games here on the East Coast, right? So you see highlights. I mean, honestly, I would just echo what the players themselves and Tom Allen have said about him, which is his low center of gravity,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He just has this size to him that is compact. And so bringing him down is, if not the biggest challenge that Penn State's defense has had this season, it's up there, right? He can burn you. The comparison was made, I think it was Kobe King maybe just said it, of Blake Corum as a little bit of a comp.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Allen said that Derrick Henry in his career was a comp, right, when Tom Allen was at Ole Miss. So, you know, this is lofty praise for a guy who I think, as I've seen Penn State fans kind of digest this matchup, the fact that he plays in a not a power conference has created a perception for Penn State fans that it's not necessarily as good as the numbers suggest. And I think it's just the opposite. I think that Penn State knows. Penn State has a true appreciation for what this guy has been able to do, and is expecting every bit of that challenge to come through on New Year's Eve.
Right. No, I mean, look, the guy's a great player. There's no getting around it. Not big in stature. It's interesting for a guy that's 5'9", his stance in the backfield is straight up and down. But see, this is where I think the Penn State offense comes into play. If your offense is generating points, Nate, now do you get them at some point out of their game, which means not as much of him?
Yep, 100%. It's, again, that game flow element. I am not, again, my pregame study of the opponent, it's not comprehensive, right?
Sure.
I'm not able to
right.
to know as much as a Boise State reporter would know, but just the impression that I'm left with is that this is a vulnerable Boise State defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
They do one thing really, really well. They sack the quarterback, they get tackles behind the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
They are excellent
mm-hmm.
at doing that. I think that when you dig into yards per play, when you dig into some of the other tertiary stats, they show some vulnerability. They show against good offenses that they can be got, right? Particularly in the passing game.
Yeah.
So if Penn State is able to do what they've largely been doing, which is having that versatility, right? Drew needs to have a better game than he
mm-hmm.
did against SMU. But if the running back, Nick Singleton, I think, is averaging 8.1 yards a carry in December, Catron Allen, I think, is 7.8. So if those guys can do what they've done and get Drew Aller going too and keep the ball in their hands, yeah, I think there's an opportunity there for Penn State to kind of dictate the flow of the game and, as you said, mitigate a little bit of what that Gentee can do.
And what's interesting is they're the team with 3 weeks off between games. You know, so that additional rest has got to help them. There's no question about that. But you and I both know that sometimes 3 weeks between games is not the best deal because of the possibility of rust, and rust translates into missing tackles.
Yep. It's T. Frank, my colleague, said to me coming off of practice today that, and I thought it was a great point, that if there is any game Penn State has had this season where a good start could help, right, and really change things for them, it's this one. It could help on both sides of the ball, mostly because, as he pointed out, they've been playing with a lead all season. Boise has not had to – I'm sorry, what's that?
No, exactly. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. Like they've had a two touchdown lead for most of the season. If that's not the identity of the game, how does that change things for them? I think it changes things significantly. If they have to pass, that changes things. That alters things. So it's going to be very, very important for Penn State to get out to a good start, right? To not have some of the hiccups that they've experienced, at least offensively, for most of the season.
This format's interesting. Boise State was able to get, as one of the top four rated conference champions, a bye. Is there anything about the college football playoff structure, since Penn State's involved in it, we're all living through it, that you would tweak as to how the structure is right now?
Yeah, I'd blow the whole thing up. I think it's a tremendous, right? Like, the game had to evolve. This is great. The fact that they expanded it to 12 is great. It is going to redefine what success means in college football, which is crucial to college football because everyone has lost their minds, right? For a decade, people thought, and Penn State being the most localized version of it, but Ohio State the same, right? Some of these other programs that expect to be successful and to have the highest levels of achievement, the notion that the only thing that's successful is by making a 4-team playoff was crazy. That was just dumb. It was lunacy for a decade. So this is a huge stride to get to 12. I think personally they need a structure, and again, I don't have necessarily a detailed answer of how this happens, but there has to be a structure that allows a seeding that is just automatic, that takes humans out of it. I'm the whole Kirk Herbstreit conversation, all of these people sniping each other back and forth would be taken care of if it was simply, hey, this is where you finished in your conference. Well, this is the slot that you go into, right? Or this is where you finished in some combination, you know, the formulaic BCS era, combining everything into a ranking. I don't even have a problem with that, right? Like, some way to take this out of it, because as it stands, you can see this doesn't make sense. Why does Penn State get Boise and Ohio State gets Oregon, or vice versa? Why does Oregon, as the number one overall seed, have to play Ohio State? Right? There's a lot that to me doesn't make a ton of sense. I think that the buys don't necessarily make sense. I think the automatic conference affiliation, automatic bids don't necessarily make sense. There's a lot that can be improved upon it, and I think it will be, because every coach in America is going to see this and say, hey, a stride has been taken. A significant, important stride has been taken. It's time to tweak this and actually make a playoff that makes sense.
Yeah, for me, look, the college basketball has provided a blueprint for college football. They need to follow it. In other words, when it comes to the recruiting part, the early signing date, college basketball is the second Wednesday in November. Well, that's just off the preseason. College football should make it the first Wednesday in August. Okay, playoff. You may be the ACC champion, you win the tournament, but that doesn't mean you're on the one line. You could be the three seed. Okay? Well, that got you in the tournament automatically. Five automatic bids, I'm all for it. But at that point, you seed them 1 through 12 as to what you think is 1 through 12. That's my opinion. You can take off from there.
Yeah. No, I'm right with you. I'm not. I think with a limited number, right, as opposed to 68, and obviously all of the automatic bids that go in the NCAA tournament, that's, to me, that makes more sense to have that committee approach than this necessarily does. I just think there is, you're putting these people in an impossible position to begin with. But what do they say? It's a feature, not a bug.
Right.
Is the sport wants this dialogue? It wants this attention. It wants this type of fighting. I'm just not sure it's, if you look at the NFL, and I understand that college football and the NFL are different, but if you, nobody has any issue with how seeding is done in the NFL playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you can come up with a way to make it make sense and have the most deserving teams get into an advantageous situation in the playoffs and then let things seed out from there.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that makes sense. I just think any movement towards structure, and rules is good for college football, because right now they don't have any. It is a systemless system.
Yeah. Exactly. That's, you know, you need better leadership across the board. By the way, Hoop's going to actually get going with the Big Ten season starting on the 2nd. How do you like your positioning right now?
Good. I think they missed an opportunity at Rutgers, honestly.
Yeah, I agree.
That was not totally their fault. Certainly they did not get a good whistle in that game, but nonetheless, it is what it is. They come back and have an opportunity to play some games against some teams that they should beat.
Yeah.
So I think that just given the circumstances, given how tight that, obviously you and I were both watching Penn State football, but given how tight that Drexel game got, to be able to get out of there with a win was extremely important. They should beat Penn easily here on Sunday at the Bryce Jordan Center. But then after that, it is set up very, very well for them. They are in a prime position, right, to go 10-1 in non-conference games, and then enter the Big Ten schedule right at 1-1. Yeah, that's pretty ideal. They're gonna have to stockpile wins because the non-conference schedule is so bad. They don't have the number of quality wins in the non-conference that will give them a wiggle room in the Big Ten schedule to win any fewer than 10 games, right? They're going to have to get to 500, obviously. But I would even argue right now that number might have to get to 11.
My friend, thank you so much. Appreciate it, as always. And see you there.
The privilege is mine. Thanks for having me, as always. And I can't wait to see out there in Phoenix.
Sounds great. Thanks so much. The great Nate Bauer from On3.com will be joined by Thomas Frank Carr coming up in just a few moments and talk with him and get his film breakdown of Ashton Jeanty of Boise State, the Boise State defense. We're going to do that in the next half hour. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. We all have multiple insurance needs, and we also want to be with somebody that is going to make sure that we save money. That's right. It's all at Purdy Insurance. Market Street and Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.